You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to talk about General Berger's plan here. And I want to talk about Michael Gordon's article from last week. And I want to point out things that weren't in that article that I think are really important. And one of them, Michael Gordon. Michael Gordon is one of the most well-connected well-connected writers that writes on the defense industry, okay? And that's why he was given the story, because his credibility. Whoever called him and said, hey, Mike, we want you to do a story, what they were trying to do was they were trying to, you know, using Michael Gordon's byline and the credibility that comes with that, they were trying to get him to write something favorable about what the commandant was doing. And so, but Gordon's nobody's stooge, okay? So the headline of the article is Marines Plan to Retool to Meet China Threat. Most sweeping transformation in decades will shift focus from fighting insurgents in the Middle East to preparing for conflict in the Western Pacific. Now, I think the sub-headline's wrong. The most sweeping transformation in decades will focus solely on fighting in the Western Pacific at the expense of every other mission across the range of military operations. Now, that's probably too wordy for the Wall Street Journal and probably too technical, but that is probably something more appropriate. So what the commandant is doing, no matter who you talk to, they will tell you this. China, the greatest threat, least likely nation that will fight. So how in should you be in the most dangerous, least likely? Now, you look at military history, right? Our own military history with the Soviet Union. Okay, we coexisted with the Soviet Union for 60 years. So most likely, least dangerous, and the Marine Corps all in on one fight. Now people say, oh, Mac, we're not all in on one fight. Bullshit. The whole Marine Corps is being redesigned for this. Now, I'll tell you some other questions that people have asked me. Email, hey, Mac, even if the Navy built all these ships that you could put 100 Marines on, how many ships is that? Good question. We've got 34, something like that. We need 38 right now. Most of them don't get to sea very easily because of the state of readiness, because amphibious operations aren't a high, you know, item on the Navy's budget. So anyway, so that's a good question. So if it's 100, how about if they built us 100 ships? That would get us 10,000 Marines at sea in the area of operation. Well, how many Marines do you have in 1 MEF and 3 MEF? You have a third. You have most of the Marine Corps in those 2 MEFs. So even if we do it, you can't get everybody to the fight like that. So where's everybody else going? What's everybody else going to do? Everybody else is going to wait. The article leaves out, and let me tell you for me what's most apparent about Michael Gordon's article is what's not in there. Okay? What's not in there? Okay, now if you scroll through the article and you start looking for quotes, who's quoted? Scroll through it. You see any retired Marine generals quoted in there? So Michael Gordon, you only see one retired Marine Corps general that's quoted in there, and that's General Zinni. So what does it say when a guy as connected as Michael Gordon can't find another retired Marine general officer to say anything good about this? All he's got is think tank guys. Now, you've already heard about the, you know, Mark Kansian said, the predictive accuracy of think tank people in not just the United States, but all across the world. They're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. And so that's what Kansian makes the case for hedging. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is Gordon couldn't find anybody else, right? Did not quote anybody in the article that's supportive of what General Berger's doing. And the only person he does quote, now imagine General Zinni's position. Now, I haven't spoken to General Zinni, but I'd love to. Okay. And, but general officers are pretty particular about picking fights in public. They don't make each other look bad. And I think there's an unwritten unwritten rule that once you retire, you sure as hell don't do that. Now, not everybody follows it, but most people do. So here's the only quote. So what's not in the article is any supportive quote by any retired general officer. Not one. And it's not like Michael Gordon doesn't know him. So here's a quote. Here's a paragraph before General Zinni's quote. Some retired Marines, plural. Now, so what does that mean? He talked to retired Marine general officers who he knows, who trust him. But you know what they told him? This is off the record. You cannot use my name. That's what that means. Some retired Marines caution that too heavy a focus on China may make the Corps less flexible in dealing with conflicts that might erupt in the Middle East and other distant regions, which they consider to be more likely. And what happens to the Marine Corps when it starts missing fights? Yeah, well, we don't do windows anymore. Well, I can tell you what the argument's always been. When you start missing fights, that whole sentence, the nation needs the Army. The nation needs the Navy. The nation needs the Air Force. The nation doesn't need the Marine Corps. When you make yourself less than capable across the range of military operations, you marginalize yourself. And trust me, Congress can revisit that law that says there needs to be a Marine Corps with three infantry divisions and three air wings. They can revisit that law. So think about that as you frame this discussion. Not one general officer is quoted in here. And then how Gordon phrases it. Some retired Marines caution. So let me tell you what that means. That means he talked to multiple people who would not be quoted for the article who told him the same thing. Less flexible. So what is the historic value of the Marine Corps? We are the most bang for the buck. When you when the Marine Corps sells itself, they put up this is how many people we're going to put in there. This is how many. This is how much it's going to cost you. This is how it breaks down cost per combatant. And this is us compared to the Army. This is us compared to the Air Force. This is what you get in your Marine Corps. Boom. So most boom for the buck. We'll fight tonight, and we bring a sledgehammer when we come, and we can come to a mechanized fight. We can come to a low-intensity conflict fight, and we bring a sledgehammer every time we come. That's your Marine Corps. That's the historical value to the Marine Corps. Well, not in the future, it won't be. Okay, so this is General Zinni's quote. Quote, now imagine the situation Zinni's in, and I know this because I talked to not him, but on other issues where I've solicited comment, I know what I hear in response. So what Tony Zinni, in my opinion, the quintessential Marine in my lifetime, what he has to navigate is talking to Michael Gordon, who I assume he knows and has known for a long time. Because Gordon, let me tell you, I first saw Michael Gordon stories when I was in Iraq. He was one of the few people who knew what the fuck he was talking about. And I didn't know Michael Gordon from shit. But when I read his articles, he was one of the few people that knew what he was talking about. And so I'd read his articles all the time, and they've always been good. And I've said that for years on this program. You want to read credible, right, stuff about the DOD, about America at war, find Michael Gordon and read what Michael Gordon writes. Okay, so here's what Zinni has to do. If he wants to allow Michael Gordon to quote him, then he's got to be very careful what he says, right? Tony Zinni, like all these general officers, doesn't want to pick with a fight with Commodore Marine Corps. In public, no less. Right? So here's the quote. quote, "I think it's a mistake to organize yourself in a way to go after a specific region. Something could happen tomorrow with the Iranians. The answer is be ready, expeditionary, and balanced." Now, not very critical. Didn't take issue with General Berger's course of action. Be ready, be expeditionary, be balanced. That is the history of the Marine Corps. So I just wanted to point that out. Now, there's another article written by a guy named Dan Gurr. I think that's how you say it. It might be Gore, G-O-U-R, or Gory. And it appears in Real Clear Defense. The headline is, "Will Commandant Berger's new Marine Corps be a high-tech forlorn hope?" Forlorn hope, right? And I think you have to understand the term forlorn hope in military history. I've seen it most associate in American military history associated with the Battle of Gettysburg. So if you type in forlorn hope, I think what you find is the 16th Maine at Gettysburg. Forlorn hope, right? I'm sorry, the 1st Maine Heavy Artillery. So it's pregnant with military meaning if you're, you know, into military history. Anyway, so I'll put the link in here, you know, and I'll read the last paragraph of what he writes. "Most capabilities Force Design 2030 wants by that date have not yet been developed. It is difficult to believe that the Marine Corps can acquire a range of new weapon systems with the combination of requirements, long-range precision, mobility, and low cost necessary to implement General Berger's vision. For example, at the same time it was releasing the new force design paper, the Marine Corps sent out a request for information to industry for a system to be mounted on a joint light tactical vehicle to defeat fixed and rotary wing manned and unmanned aerial threats. Instead of a viable Marine Corps for a future great power conflict, Force Design 2030 may be a recipe for the creation of a forlorn hope. For the non-military historian, these were small formations of select or volunteers assigned particularly hazardous missions. Because their chance of survival was so slim, they were called forlorn hope. In the earliest Dutch version of the term, lost troops, operating in China's backyard, the new Marine Corps could be facing a bleak future." Dan Gurry is a vice president of public policy research think tank, Lexington Institute. We'll see if we can get Dan on, because again, you've heard Kansian, you've heard Hamas. You know, this is an important discussion. So we're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.